bless you, saints. Will you stand to your feet? Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Heavenly Father, we bow humbly our hearts and our heads before you, Lord. We give praise to your name for your truth that you have established in the earth, Lord. You have established it in our hearts. And Father, we have come into your house once again, Lord, to worship you, Lord, to hear your word, Lord, to believe you, Lord, to receive all that you have promised for us, Lord, every benefit that Jesus died for. And Father, it's in your presence, Lord God, where we receive strength, Lord God, knowing that we are weak. But in you, we are made strong. Father, we just ask, oh God, that you anoint each and every vessel here, Lord, that you may be glorified. We ask that you anoint Brother Cliff in a special way, Lord. Just use our brother to speak to our hearts the things that we have need of, Lord, to be better Christians, Lord, when we leave this place. Father, we'll give praise to you and thank you in advance, Lord. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we ask all these things. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Where would I be if not for your grace carrying me through every season? Where would I be if not for your grace that came to my rescue? And I want to thank you for your grace. Mm-hmm. Where would I be if not for your grace carrying me through every season? Where would I be if not for grace that came to my rescue? And I want to thank you for grace that restores, grace that redeems, grace that restores, grace that redeems, grace that raises me, grace could not hold you down. Lord, you are the risen King. You're seated in majesty. Hallelujah, you have won the victory. Say hallelujah, hallelujah, you have won it all for me. Death could not hold you down. Lord, you are the risen King. And you're seated in majesty. Lord, you are the risen King. Say hallelujah. Lord, you have won the victory. Oh, hallelujah. You have won it all for me. Death could not hold you down. Lord, you are the risen King. You're seated in majesty. Lord, you are the risen King. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. No one, no. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Come on, I searched all over. I said I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. How many feels that way this morning? Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Come on, let's sing it one more time. I searched all over, I couldn't find nobody. Said I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater. There's nobody greater than you. Nobody greater, nobody, nobody, no one, nobody, somebody say nobody, nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. There's nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. No one, no, nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody greater.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God. Let's sing it again. Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Yes, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, and if our God is with us, then
come on one more time.
And if our God is for us, and if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Oh, what could stand against? What could stand against? Oh. Then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many knows there's no one like Jesus? Amen. Let's sing that little song together.
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one,
amen, let's sing it again.
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one,
amen, I ran around.
I ran around. I turned around, I searched around all over. There's no one there. I ran around all over. I turned around, I searched around all over. Oh, there's no one there. No one like Jesus. There's no one,
I ran around, say.
I turned up. I searched around all over, There's no,
amen, one more time.
I ran around, say. All over. I searched around all over, There's no one,
One more time, there's no one like Jesus.
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I done said it before, I'm going to say it again. You got to get in shape to come to church. Amen. Sometimes you're going to be anointed to dance. You're going to be anointed to shout. You're going to be anointed to cry. You just got to get in where you fit in. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. We have a few specials this morning. You may have your seat. Amen. Sister Shonda, would you come this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim.
Praise the Lord. How marvelous is your name, O God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister Charisse, will you come? Praise the Lord. There's so much you can say about that great name. I don't want to get started. It's hard to stop. Praise the Lord.
Everything I've ever wanted.
You're glad for a born-again experience. Amen. You die to yourself, have a new walk, have a new talk. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. Sister, if you can, get ready to get the announcements for me. Looks like I have a prayer request up here. It says, keep Brother Elvis in prayer. The only job he has found is an hour away and on the weekends, but his heart's desire is to be here in fellowship with us in the house of God. And all I had to tell him was Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we want to keep Brother Elvis in prayer. Amen. We want to pray for Brother Cliff again this morning. Amen. May the Lord help him get himself out of the way that he may be used. And we want to pray for one another always. Amen. If you So she have the announcement. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tomorrow. God bless you, Sister Jennifer. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord. Our precious Sister Jennifer. God bless you. Amen. How old will you be? 16, right? I ain't going to try and get you to lie in church. Sorry. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pinnacle Palm service today at 5:30. And service Friday night at 7:30. Praise the Lord. Will you stand to your feet? We also would like for the brothers to come at this time. We're going to take up this morning's tithe and offering. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow humbly our hearts before you, Lord. We want to thank you for Brother Elvis, Lord God, how you moved on him in the past month, Lord God, and Lord, to see the light that he's seen and to begin to walk in it, Father. And for his heart's desires to be in fellowship with the saints of God around the word of God. Father's a great desire, Lord. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Father, our brother is in need of a job, Lord God, not just an hour away, but near, Lord God, where he can provide for his family, Lord. Be here for his family and be in the house of God every time the church doors open. Father, we ask that you minister to his need oh God. Help our dear brother. Father, we pray for the saints here and both near and far, Lord God, that you'll be with your children, Lord, as we see the hours getting late and we know that your coming is nigh at hand. Father, no doubt pressure is going to come upon us, Lord, but may we all stand and rejoice in you always. Father God, we turn our hearts upon Brother Cliff, Lord, asking again that you anoint our brother, Lord. Oh, Father, just have your way in this life, that you may have your way in your people. Father, we ask that you bless your people now as they give their tithe and offering, Lord, into the storehouse, Lord God, and we just ask that you bless them abundantly. Lord, for you have put your word out there in a challenge. Come, bring into my storehouse and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Father, fulfill your word in us, Lord, both spiritually and naturally, Lord. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Sing it again. What God has for me, oh, what God has for me, it is for me. What God has for me, it is for me. And I know without a doubt He will bring me out. Because what God has for me, it is for me. Come on and worship Him this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Just turn around and tell your neighbor, it is for me. It is for me. Praise His holy name. Amen. Glory, 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 glory. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I am certainly appreciative to be in the house of the Lord. We certainly miss the saints for the last 2 weeks. We had every intention of being here last week, and when we got there we were leaving Tennessee, and we flew into Atlanta. we got to Atlanta, they had us sitting on the plane, and they turned on this little thing where the, I guess it's supposed to let out some smoke or something like that into the plane, I guess trying to kill some germs or whatever. And when they let out the smoke, it just kept letting it out, and it would never stop. And I was like, something wrong here, you know, I don't know what's going on. So it just like running for about an hour. I was like, man, we don't know about this. And they just left us sitting there, and then they said something about the water on the plane wasn't working, and we'll still fly without water. And then they said something about some control panel wasn't working, and they needed to get that, you know, fixed before we got in the air. And we looked out the window, and one of the guys was bamming on the wing of the plane. This don't look good. And he just hitting it, you know, with everything he got, just bamming on the wing. And then on the other side, he bamming on the other wing and said, wait a minute. That's how he fixing it, you know. So, you know, we kind of looked. I told my wife, said, something wrong. This something, I don't know what they got going on, but something ain't right. Finally said, we can't take this plane. And then they had to find another plane for us to get on. And when I looked at the time, I said, man, you know, that just messed up my whole plan to be in church. And I said, but that's all right. God knows all things. And I was glad that everything worked out the way it did. You know, having Brother Lavender here last week, that was a blessing. Amen. And certainly appreciate that. And you know, we were away the week before there in South Carolina, and we really did have a wonderful time. Just a few services that we attended, but man, we had a great time in the Lord. And I'm so grateful for all the saints that had an opportunity to go. You know, I was, you know, on that bus, them brothers got back there in the back, and man, they were just giving L's to everybody, you know. Their brother Daniel and brother Caleb and, you know, brother Jeffrey, brother Stephen, they just back there playing them games, and I, you know, it was pretty funny, you know. I had to laugh, you know, the way that they was doing it. I think Josh had played Caleb, and Josh was beating them pretty good, and Caleb came back at the end, and Josh's brother brother Kalima's son, but he was beating them pretty good, and then at the end Caleb came back and won, and so they went to the hotel room, and Caleb said, man, I got something in my bag that I want to give you, you know, Josh. I want you to know that this came from Brother Caleb to you. And Josh was like, what is that, Brother Jack? I mean, Brother Caleb, what you got? He said, just hold on, let me find it. And he started looking in his bag. He said, oh, brother, here it is, right here. So when he's making an L like that, that means you the loser. So I said, man, that's pretty good. I mean, they just really had a lot of fun. And just sometimes you need a little fellowship like that just to break things up. And I was just really happy, you know, with how everything just kind of turned out. And we had a wonderful time in Jesus' name. And our bus driver, you know, his wife, she sat in on the service on Sunday morning. And as we were sitting there just ministering, she said after the service, she said, I found out something today in church. She said, I found out that I'm a chicken. I'm sorry, I'm an eagle inside a chicken coop. So that's what I found out in church today. I say, what? You an eagle inside a chicken coop? Now, you don't know really what you're saying just yet. Because if you are an eagle in a chicken coop, you can't stay there. You're going to have to come out some kind of way. Right? And I say, all we're going to do is let the mother eagle keep screaming until that baby eagle come back out. Oh, my God. I say, boy, that's all right. If that's what you found out in church today, that's a good thing to find out, you know. And so we just really, really had a wonderful time and just a real good atmosphere. And we're just looking forward to, you know, just more fellowship. I've been told. Brother Fred's church has made it very clear to me that they want to come to Spirit and Truth and Fellowship. They say, we want to come to Spirit and Truth. Say, we're not discrediting nobody else's church. Say, but we want to come to Spirit and Truth. I say, well, praise the Lord. He say, when we come in 150 strong. And I start counting the chairs. I say, ooh. So if we have to stand, we'll stand. right? But that's a little problem. That's a little problem. So, and that's a good problem to have when the church is full and you can't find seats for everybody. But I tell you, we're looking forward to that. And you know, just next year, the Lord Terry, we're going to try to make something happen where we can get them down for a little fellowship. On this morning, Brother Cliff, you come and you have a seat right here, brother. Come on. You have a seat right here. I'm going to get him out here to preach in a second. I got one more special before I bring Brother Cliff up. But I did want to say a couple things. Tonight at 6:30, Brother Wesco has invited Brother Cliff to come preach, amen, at Rapture and Faith Tabernacle. And anyone that can go and be a part of the service, amen, I'd like to encourage you to do so. I think it's good that we get a chance to fellowship. I was telling Brother Cliff earlier, this is probably the first time that I've taken a guest minister to Brother Wesco on a Sunday night rather than to Brother Gene. And, so I'm happy for this open door. And I know that there's God's behind all of that. So if you don't have anything to do, press your way out into the service. I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you press your way, this is routine. Sunday morning is routine. And we don't typically have a Sunday night service. But the last time I pressed my way to a Sunday night service, I received something that I put inside my Bible, and I'm holding on to it. And I came back and gave it to y'all. Y'all got it in y'all Bible. And we're looking for God to do some great things, right? But that was because I pressed my way into a service. That's where I got that from, right? So I want to encourage you, press your way. You know, don't just, man, I got an evening to relax. Well, do that next week. But this week, press your way into the service. Amen, if you can. But I did want to say he'll be there tonight at 6:30. So after Pinnacle Palms, we'll be heading over to be in service there with Brother Wesco. Also, I wanted to thank God for Brother Obed and Brother Israel Dioka. Amen, being with us here today. Praise the Lord. Good to have them. Our precious brothers are from the Congo. Amen. And the church that they attend, when they go in on Sunday morning, there's 15,000 people. 15,000. I said, brother, we don't have churches like that here in the States, unless they're denominational, right? But Message Church, he's saying it ain't the third largest with 15,000. Another church got about 18,000. I say, Lord, what a service, you know. But we're so happy to have them fellowshipping with us. They were up in Orlando and drove down this morning just to be here and fellowship with us. And we're so grateful for that. And our precious brother from Trinidad, what's your name? Brother Tracy. Good to have you, Brother Tracy. What church in Trinidad? Oh, Brother Shamali. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. So good to have you, Brother Tracy. God bless you. You heard about us and I guess you must have got pretty close. All right. And then he called me on the phone, and I told him, look for the Dollar General, and he found it. So good to have you, Brother Tracy. Praise the Lord. Man, God is good. God is good. God is good. So a couple other things I just need to make mention. Y'all forgive me because I ain't been here in 2 weeks. So, you know, I got to get it all out. But I want to say thank God for Brother Nehemiah, who has received his just due. Amen. When we was there in the meetings in South Carolina, Brother Solomon went up and sung a song. And Brother Nehemiah got up there and he started doing his beat there on the song. And after he finished playing, you know, he just kind of got his stuff together and was walking on off the drums. And I saw the drummer for Brother Fred say, no, you stay there. And so when a drummer is told to stay there, then he just received some respect. So God bless you, Brother Nehemiah. Hallelujah. If they come take the sticks from you, that's, you know. They saying something else when they take the sticks. But when they say stay there, that means you got some respect, you know. Praise the Lord. Man, that was all right. I tell you, we had a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time up there and looking forward to all that God has in store. 2 weeks from now, I will be going to the dedication service there at Brother Nathan Bryant's there in Jeffersonville. And also that same weekend, there Brother Tim Humes is having meetings up in North Carolina. So we'll have some saints that will be missing, amen, on that weekend. But you all keep us in prayer as we all just kind of travel, going our respective ways. But keep Brother Nathan, amen, and the church in prayer as they come to this dedication. So much for them to celebrate, amen, and being able to get the church there in Jeffersonville. And God's just really, really doing a mighty work in 5 years' time. God's done some tremendous things, and I'm so happy that I'm going to have the opportunity to go and just be a part of those services. So keep that in prayer. That'll be 2 weeks from now. That same weekend, while I'm away, Brother Wesco will be having a pastor from the UK. He's also from Zimbabwe, Brother Chikosi. Brother Chikosi, if you never heard him minister, you will be blessed. If you can get there to the services, I believe it's going to be that Saturday night and that Sunday morning. Brother Chikosi will be preaching there at Brother Wesco's. And somewhere here in the near future, I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but I know Brother Joe Underwood going to be coming to preach at Brother Smiley's church. It's going to be on a Saturday night. Next Saturday night, Brother Joe Underwood will be over in Okeechobee, Florida, preaching at Brother Smiley's. A lot of church going on, right? But we need a lot of church. We need a lot of church. But next Saturday night, if y'all can make it there, I know it'll be a blessing for you. So that's tonight, next Saturday night, then the following weekend, we got, you know, Brother Chikosi. So looking forward to all that God has in store. All right. I think that's all I'm supposed to announce. And if y'all don't mind, I want to just sing this song. I don't think I've sung a special in a long time. So I want to sing this one today. Amen. And my mother-in-law reminded me, said, "You ain't sang that one in a good while." And so I say, I'll do it today. Amen. It happened so long ago. I cried out for mercy back then. I pled the blood of Jesus. I begged him to forgive my sin. But I still can't forget it. It just won't go away. So I wept again, "Lord, wash my sin." And this is all he'd say. What sin? What sin? Well, that's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? Tell me what sin. It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Heaviest thing you carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear it, so let it go in my Jesus name. Our God is slow to anger, and he is quick to forgive our sins. So let him place it under the blood. Don't you pick it up again, and he'll say, "Oh, what sin? Tell me what sin. That's as far away as the east is from the west. Yeah, my child, he says, what's in? Oh, what's in? It was gone the very minute you confess. Oh, buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Oh, Lord, please deliver me from my accusing memory. Nothing makes me weep this way, but then I hear you say, what sin? What sin? Well, that's as far away as the east is from the west. He says this morning, oh, what sin? Tell me what sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. It's buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. God, we worship you. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Church, don't carry that guilt. Don't carry that shame. Amen. It's buried this morning. In Jesus' name, it's buried. Let's stand to our feet. Let's prepare to welcome Brother Cliff to the pulpit. We thank God for him. Thank God for his wife and his children. Amen. Being with us on today. All the way from Arkansas. Amen. It's a good ride. Good ride. But they were coming here to Florida on a little vacation. And I'm so glad that they stopped by to see some friends. Amen. As they were on their way to vacation. So we're good to have him. Amen. This week and Thursday night. You're in Brother Smiley's, right? All right, it's Thursday night. He's at Brother Smiley's. Saturday night, also Brother Joe at Brother Smiley's. So we're going to be having some wonderful services, amen, over this next week. And don't forget, Friday night, we'll be here. It's our first Friday of the month. So we'll be, that's our night that we typically do tape service. So we invite you to come and be a part of that, amen, as we come to hear the word of the Lord, amen, from God's prophet. Amen. As we just sing a few choruses of this, and we welcome our Brother Cliff Farmer to the pulpit. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Also, I want to thank God for my nephew, Caleb, being here today. Amen. Also, Sister Linda, good to see you as well. God bless you. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Come on, sing with all your heart. Amazing grace. Oh, amazing grace. How
us.
Man, he's a great God of grace. I like what one time the prophet of God said. He said, the only difference in you and any sinner walking the street, just the grace of God. You know, somebody was talking the other day about, said, this guy's in false doctrine, that guy's in false doctrine. And my dad said, you know what? He said, we can sit around and talk about how bad they are, or we can say if it wasn't for grace, we'd be out there with them. Just thank God for grace this morning. Amen. Well, it's good to be here with you. And I appreciate Brother Jack for inviting us to come by. I told him, I said, we're going to be in the area. I said, don't feel no pressure. I said, I can, you know, I don't have to do nothing. But he kind of insisted we be here this morning. So we're thankful for that. You got a real pastor. You know, I tell you, I watched him in our meeting, and of course, both years that he came, he just blew the place up. But the last year that he was there, something happened that most people would have too much pride to admit. He walked to the pulpit, and he tried to preach what he wanted to preach, and it wouldn't work. So he stopped, and he said, I'm sorry, we're going to have to do something different. And he just changed his scripture, changed his notes, everything right there in the pulpit. And I said, you know what? It takes something for a man to be led enough of God that when he feels the Lord saying, no, I don't want you to do what you want to do. I want you to do what I want to do. He said, all right, I'll just do it. And, you know, it's easy. I said you got a real pastor. Let me share something with you. Y'all don't have to keep on. I'm done. You can be seated for a minute. I want to share something with you. You know, a couple of weeks ago, a brother from up at Brother Donnie's was talking to me, and he said, Brother Cliff, he said, I want to know something. He said, why have you hid things from me? And I said, like what? He said, why ain't I ever heard about your grandpa? And I said, which one? He said, the war hero. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, he was a war hero. What about it? And, you know, my grandfather, he was actually a great man of valor, and he was awarded. He's got just medals beyond, he was in all kinds of countries. He fought all kinds of wars. He was taken prisoner of war twice. He was tortured. He was just an amazing man. But I had heard the stories all my life, you see. So to me, it wasn't that big of a deal. You know, I preached this back home at the church. I said, sometimes we don't recognize greatness because it's common to us. So what I done, Brother Solomon, I told my grandfather's story, all the war stories to our church. I took about 30 minutes just going through all the things. And my church was like, man, this guy, he's great. But I didn't tell him who it was. I said, this great man, you know, and I went through all the greatness of him and all the powerful things he had done. And when I got to the end, I said, but to me, he was just grandpa. See, you know, you go around the world and you hear people going, oh, my God, what a preacher you got. What a pastor you got. But to you, it's just Brother Jack. See, I go to other places where our pastor's been, and people are going, man, your pastor, he preaches, he tears the house up. And whenever we're at home, you know, people just sit with their arms folded going, that's just old Brother David again, you know, just preaching the same old stuff again. See, we don't recognize greatness because it's so common to us. We have it every week. We don't see it as being that great. All right, but I ain't going to preach on that. I got something else this morning. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1 and 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And you can be seated. I didn't read the right scripture, did I? Y'all kept turning and turning. I thought, what are they turning? What are they doing? Well, I was going to read that one too, so I got two here I'm going to read. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Now, the Word, capital, is a person. So in the beginning was a person. And that person was God. Is that right? And the Word was God. And the Word, it looks like another person, but it's not another person. It says, and the Word was with God. Watch this. The Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Then verse 2 talks about someone else. And this someone else is the same as God. Now watch this. So in the beginning is just the Word. But there was a person. There was a, if I could call it this way, let me say it like the prophet said it. A spirit there which was God, which was the Word. But there was a flesh body that represented that Word, whose name was Jesus. And He was with God in the beginning. But verse 2 said there was another person there that was the same. It said the same was in the beginning with God. Let me bring you down to what I'm looking at. God is a spirit. But Brother Branham tells us that the Alpha was Jesus Christ, and the Omega would be Jesus Christ again. But it would be the same person, just in a different body. So in the beginning was the Father, the Spirit. In the beginning was Jesus Christ, the Word. But in the beginning, the same Jesus Christ was there in a bride form. You and I, as Jesus Christ, in another body, was there in the beginning. I want to preach to you this morning on the origin of a believer. The origin of a believer. Brother Branham said, if you want to find out where you're going, find out where you came from. You got to find out if you was there in the beginning to know if you're going back there, right? Now I'll read that scripture that I messed up on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He chose us before the world got here. You know what I like about that? That's a plan I can't mess up. I told our church, I said, I can mess up anything, but this is a plan I can't mess up. I tell you what, one time one of my cousins, my wife's cousins, let me say it that way, he was a rough old boy. But in our area, we got a pretty well-rigged court system. It's pretty sorry. And so my wife's cousin was actually shot, cold blood murder. And his lawyer went to court that day, and the judge couldn't make it. So guess who sat in as judge? That's right. The man that done the shooting's lawyer sat in as the judge. And I thought, are you kidding me? Really? But then I got to thinking about something. As bad as I hated that, that man, when he saw his lawyer judging him, he already knew what the end result would be. And I begin to think we had a judge that condemned us to death, but we also had a lawyer that said, I'll pay the bill for him. There was a man, I believe it was in Kentucky, I'm not sure of the state, but he was a judge. And they said that his daughter had got a speeding ticket. And they said that he came, now this is just a natural man, I don't even know if he was a Christian or not, but they said his daughter came up before the judge's bar and said, he said, you've been fined with a ticket, you were driving over the speed limit, how do you plead? And she said, I plead guilty. He said, then as your judge, I sentence you to pay this fine. And they said that judge stood up and he took his robe off. And he laid it on the chair. And said he walked down in front of where he had just been sitting. And he said, now as your father, I'm going to pay your fine. I begin to think the Word pointed at us. It judged us guilty. The Word condemned us to death. But the same man that condemned us
took off his robes and came down in an earthly body. And he said, now as your kinsman, I will pay that fine. See what I like about this? It said he chose us before. Before we could mess it up, he chose us. Before I could sin in this flesh, he chose me. Before I could lust, before I could steal, before I could lie, he chose me. Oh, I like that. Brother Branham said, presuming, he said, God predestinated us before the foundation of the world to the adoptions of Son in Jesus Christ. And then he asked a question. He said, how are you going to stop it? I want to ask you that this morning. He said he predestinated you before the foundation of the world. How are you going to stop it? He said, all devils in hell, you might as well quit fussing about it. It's going to be there without spot or wrinkle. It's going to be what? A bride church. Hallelujah. God said, I will restore. Restore what? One without an organization touch to it. He didn't say one that wouldn't be in an organization. He said, without the touch of organization. In other words, now I'm going to tell you, I done got in trouble for preaching this before. Brother Jack, I was in a meeting, and I always get in trouble when I speak my mind. And I was in a meeting, and there was 25 preachers on the platform behind me. And I said, you know the problem around the message? We come out of that denomination, and we brought the denomination right on with us. I said, I can tell every one of you who's going to preach y'all's meeting next year, and the flyer ain't even come out. I said, not because I'm spiritual, but because y'all so denominational. I don't think I'll go back to that meeting, Brother Jack. They didn't like it. You know what? I got screamed at, Brother Jack. I had a man call me and he screamed at me. He said, you're just mad because you ain't preaching the meetings. I said, no, I'm mad because y'all ain't led by the Spirit. See, we got organization around the message. I can't let him preach for me because this guy over here don't like him and he won't come support the meeting if that guy preached for me. Listen, I don't care who likes it, who don't like it. Hey, you know what? We had we did this last July 4th, we had another annual meeting. And we had a brother from Alaska who had met one of the other preachers that was going to preach. We had Brother Tim Cross from up in South Carolina. And he had never met the brother from Alaska. There was two brothers from New Mexico that had never met Brother Tim and had never met this brother from Alaska. They don't fellowship together. They don't know each other. They don't know if they was going to come and preach the same doctrines as the other or not. I kept asking Brother David, I said, who's preaching the meeting? He said, I don't know, I'm praying. Down to 3 weeks before the meeting, I said, who all's preaching? He said, I don't know. About 2 weeks before the meeting, he said, I got them all. I got them called. I said, who's preaching what nights? He said, I don't know. I said, what are we waiting on? He said, I'm waiting on God to say so. Let me tell you something. At the end of that meeting, we had a prayer line. Brother Jack, we didn't need them to walk through the whole prayer line. I'm talking about the second they would step to the line. People were falling in the floor, receiving the Holy Ghost, receiving deliverance. Why? Because it was not a denominational meeting, but it was a meeting orchestrated by the moving of the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I say, let's get out of this denominational Catholicism we got around the message and get back to the Spirit of God. He said it's going to be there. He said, now why are you worrying about it? Why are you worried about it? You know, let me tell you something. You think God don't know what's going on? God knows what's going on. You know, God cares about little things. I'm just going to drop something into you. Sometimes we, you know, you pray about your kids and you wonder, has God heard me or not? God knows. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, I like sharing how small of things God works in. I am not a big fan of any kind of fruit. I'm not a fan of anything that's good for you. Brother Brother Jack, where I work, no one ever brings food in, all right? It just don't happen. And one night I'm sitting there, Brother Solomon, I told my wife, I said, I don't know why, but man, I got the hankering. Y'all know what that is? I mean, that's an Arkansas word. I don't know. I said, I got a hankering for some cantaloupe. I said, man, I want some so bad I can't stand it. And the next morning, as soon as I got to work, a customer walks in. And he says, you know, I got a bunch of cantaloupe. Would anybody like to have one? He said, it's already cut up and it's been in the cooler. And I said, I ain't believing this. We can't have faith that God will pay our car payment or our house payment. And God cared, Brother Jack, that I wanted some cantaloupe. I told the church, I said, my God, He will take care of your needs. He'll take care of your children. He'll take care of your marriage. He'll take care of your brothers, your sisters, your car payment. Quit worrying about it. Listen, we are serving a judge who judges us in a rigged court. We got a God that rigged the system. Oh, my. I'm going to take too long building foundation. I ain't going to get there. Now, Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, we are a part of God's great drama. Now, I don't know much about this stuff. It's all above me. It's all fancy. But in these dramas, when you go and you sit at a theater and you watch a play, you're not watching this take place for the first time. You are watching, if I could call it this way, you're watching the adopted version. You're not watching the one that's been tried and tested and stopped in the middle and messed up and mistake, but you're watching a finished product. You're watching a scene that the master of ceremonies has said, I approve this. The identified Christ of all ages, Brother Branham said, remember, God changes His form. He's in morphe. The Greek word means He puts on a different mask, like Carmen or something, or Shakespeare's play. See, He's an actor, and He changes His form. All right. You know, we made at our church back home, you know, we made a CD. Our pastor's wife sung some songs, and, you know, we didn't just go to the studio and just start playing. But somewhere we got alone where no one else saw what was going on. It wasn't recorded, but we got together and she said, you got to go to this key here and you got to go to this place here. And we begin to play these songs and begin to get into harmony before you ever heard the CD. The Lord came to Job one time and He said, Job, He said, I know it looks tough, but I want to ask you a question. He said, before you got here, where was you at? All right, all right, all right. I want you to remember this all the way through today. Before you got to this trial, Job, where was you at? Come on. He said, Job, before the boils, where was you at? All right. Before the children, where was you at? See, God didn't come to Job and say, Job, do you remember when I gave you children? Because Job's anchor wasn't in children. He didn't come to Job and say, Job, do you remember when I gave you camels? Because Job's anchor wasn't in camels. Brother Solomon didn't say, Job, do you remember when I gave you the oxen and the cattle on 1,000 hills? Because Job's anchor was not in cattle and oxen. But instead he said, Job, if you have understanding, where was you at when I laid the foundations of the earth? He said, before time began, when the sons of God were shouting for joy. Job, do you understand what I'm saying? Job, your anchor's not here. Your anchor's not in this trial. Your anchor's not in things that the world can buy. But Job, where were you when I laid the foundation? See, we get to looking too carnal. We get to looking at what the devils give to us. Hello? The devil gives us things. The devil gives us gifts. Our work gives us gifts. Our lust of things, of wanting things of the flesh, gives us gifts like car payments and house payments, and we got to buy new clothes and we got to have new this and got to have new that, and then we get all worried about it. But look at what God gave. That's what me and my wife was talking one time. I said, you know what, most of our troubles are because of our worries. If God's going to take care of us for the binds that we put ourselves in. We get worried if God's going to take care of our mess ups. We're the ones that, I don't know why I keep saying this, but I'm just there. We're the ones. You make $2 more an hour on a job, you're going to buy a new car. We're the ones that put ourselves in that spot. God didn't do that.
Lord Jesus, this ain't where I was planning on. Brother in our church, man, he just keeps on and keeps on. Every time he makes a little extra money, they get new phones. They get new computer. They come over to our house. Last week, they didn't even have no gas money. And they come over the next week, and he said, man, I got me a new iPad that I can preach from. I ain't preached but 3 times, man. He said, I got me a new iPad I can preach from. And I thought, good God. You know what, a few weeks went by and he was preaching from a cell phone. I said, what happened to your iPad? He said, they repossessed it. Notes and all. You see, what he failed to do was be a good steward. And then he blamed it on God. See, people sit and they go, why is God doing this to me? God didn't do that to you. God said you be a good steward. He said have faith in me for your needs, not for all your lustful wants. I got to leave that alone. Lord have mercy. Job, where was you at? Let's get out of here. Job, where was you? All right. Brother Branham said, let me say one more thing. Creeds does not satisfy a hungry heart. Creeds won't satisfy. If a man's hungering for God, you say the Apostles' Creed, join the church, put your name here, be sprinkled, or whatever you want to do. It'll never satisfy a hungry soul. Because they were predestinated of God to search for life. That's why people wonder why you're different. It's life. You know, I've been preaching in a Baptist church, and they've been coming over and visiting my church. And you know what? They all tell me the same thing. They say, you got something we don't have. They can't figure out what it is. Now some of them calls me a cult. I preached a message the other day. Jesus, when he was on earth, said, who do you say I am? And I want to say the same question. Who does people around West Palm Beach say you are? It didn't matter that some said he was John the Baptist. It didn't matter that some said he was Beelzebub. It didn't matter that some said he was Jeremiah. What they said about him did not change who he was. And what they say about this church does not change who this church is. They can call you a cult. They can call you the poor church. They can call you the legalistic church. They can call you the mean church. They can call you whatever they want to. But God said, you're mine. And God said, you're the bride. So it doesn't matter what name they put on you. He said, because they were predestinated of God to search for life. Now, don't hang up on me too quick. But he said, they was once the angels. The predestinated. He said, was once the angels. They was once an angel who did not fall. 2/3 of the angels of heaven fell. That's these evil spirits working amongst the people. Very religious. Remember, the scripture tells us that the tail of the dragon drew 1/3 part of the stars of heaven. And he said, those angels that fell are the evil spirits that are working among you that are religious. Them demons that... I'll share this with you. And I don't want you to think I'm bringing no glory to me. Is this all right? No glory to me. But the Lord gives men gifts, and we got to understand that. And the Lord has allowed me Sometimes in a prayer line, Brother Jack, I'll just know what's wrong with people and I'll call it out. Well, our young people at church, at home, they've caught on to this. And we had two young sisters that was kneeling down together. And I was going around praying for people. And the Lord was moving. And these two young girls, they was laying there on the altar. And they said they were both praying, Brother Jack. They said, we don't know what's wrong, but something's wrong. And they were both praying together. They said, Lord, let him come pray for us, whatever is wrong with us, so that we'll know and we can get deliverance. Well, Brother Jack, I walked over there and I put my hand on them like this. And I called out and rebuked a rebellious demon. Guess what happened? They got mad. A few minutes later, this one girl made her way up there, Brother Solomon. She said, Brother Cliff, I need to apologize. She said, I was asking God to show me what was wrong. But when you said rebellion, I got mad. I said, that ought to show you what it was. She said, but I didn't think that was the problem. I said, that's exactly what the problem is. After church, she come to me, her and her little friend, and she said, tell us what's wrong. I said, you want to know what's really wrong? I said, you got a problem with ministers. She started crying. I don't know why I'm here, man. This ain't nothing to... I said, you got a problem with preachers. She said, that's right. I said, you don't want nobody telling you what to do. She said, that's right. I said, you don't even want your pastor telling you what to do. I said, whenever he preaches, you go, that's his opinion. Them tears just started flowing. I said, you want to know why you're that way? She said, please tell me. I said, because your daddy's that way. See, parents can't figure out why the kids are rebellious. They're the problem. I preached at home on the order of headship. And man, I'll tell you what, I'm just all over the board this morning. I preached at home on the order of headship, and I started out with kids. And Brother Jack, them parents was with me. They was back there. All the stuff, you know, I know y'all seen that guy on Facebook, you know, all of them, the hugging, yeah, it's me. Every motion there was, them parents was with me. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, some of these kids need to be smacked in the mouth. Need a belt taken to their hide. Them parents, man, this. And then I turned it on them. And I said, the reason the kids won't obey is because mama won't listen to daddy. Oh, the mamas quit saying amen. And them daddies was grinning from ear to ear and going, them husbands, man, they was with that bullish nature like we got, though. They was just like, and I looked at one guy that was grinning from ear to ear that's about as sorry of a husband as they is in the church. And I looked at him and I said, buddy, let me tell you, if you think I ain't coming to your house next, you just hold on. I said, the reason your wife won't listen to you is because you won't come under submission to the ministering of the word. And all the preachers got to smiling. We got 9 preachers in the church. Until I got on them. See, we like to point fingers and blame it. I said, the reason people don't want to hear you preachers is because you won't come under submission to the pastor, the head of the church. I said, now you want to be the preacher. You want the pastor to have more respect for you. When you don't respect him, then your wife don't respect you. Then your children don't respect her. You're ready to slap your wife, ready to beat your children, and you're the problem. This ain't got nothing to do with where I'm at. Lord have mercy. He said they was once the angels who did not fall. He said 2/3 of the angels of heaven fell. That's these evil spirits working amongst people. Very religious. You know the Bible says that. You was just not always right here. You were once somewhere else. Amen. Now let me just stop for a second. Brother Branham makes a statement. He said, you're not an angel. Never was an angel, never will be an angel. Then right here, he says the sons of God are the angels that never fail. And these kind of statements is why people are walking away from this message. Because without revelation, They go well. He said it here and then he combated it here. We got to understand. Brother Branham said we were angelic beings. He said we were there in an angelic body. But we were not angels because an angel does not have a soul. An angel being up there with wings flapping around, we were not that. But we were there in a theophanic form. Brother Branham tells us you made a choice there, not in this body. See, it wasn't Peter's flesh body that said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But it was a theophany that was speaking louder than Peter's flesh body was speaking. Now, when Brother Branham preaches this, when he says there was once the angels who did not fall, I just want to take you to the sermon. The sermon was the unfailing realities of the living God. See, we get to looking at this and we think this is reality. But when the prophet preached about reality, he took you to another land. He took you to somewhere before your flesh got in the way. Is that all right? Let me move on with this. When the conductor is here at this play, or if you're at an orchestra, whatever is going on here, this singing, this music, this play, he is not looking at you. He is looking at the sheet music. Because you have already been trained behind a curtain. See, Brother Branham said that when he went to that other land, he said, "I went beyond a curtain." He said, "I went beyond the curtain of time." You know, before that curtain is ever pulled up or spread apart, there is some things going on behind that curtain. There's some details being worked out behind that curtain. There are some people that he's saying, "That's not what I want. This is how I want. I don't want you to move it there. This is how I want it moved." And there are people that will say, "I quit," before you ever see that drama played. But there are people that will sit there and say, "I'll take the constructive criticism. You change me. Whatever you want me to play like. Whatever you want me to sound like. Whenever you want me to strike, that's when I'll strike. You just tell me and I'll follow." Yeah. And these choices are made long before you ever watch this play. In the seal of the Antichrist, the prophet of God said, "The right hand of Almighty God was Lucifer, the son of the morning. The first, God granted him almost co-workers with him. He was a co-worker, partly equal with him. Only Satan could not create. God is the only creator. But Satan took something that God created and perverted it back into something else evil." You know, I look at this and I go, "My God, you could be the right hand of Almighty God and still not be happy." Now, see, people go, "Well, if I could get a raise, I'd be happy. If I could get a newer car, I'd be happy." If you got that spirit of can't be happy, this man in the Bible proves you could be in heaven and still not be happy. Lord Jesus. See, the problem is we don't like whenever preachers identify, but Lucifer is still around the church. We had a preacher here a while back. He told Brother David, he said, "Brother David, you just ain't using me enough. I got to go to another church." He said, "Brother, you preach every Sunday night." He said, "If you preach any more than that, you're going to have to take the church over." But he wasn't satisfied. He was a youth pastor. He preached all the time. He dealt with situations in the church, but he wasn't happy. Why? Because a spirit of jealousy. He was God's right-hand man. Now, Brother Branham makes a statement here that I want you to catch. Because if you don't recognize where you came from, you can't recognize where you're going to. But Brother Branham said that Lucifer preached in heaven. He said he preached to all the stars. Let me read this to you. Revelations 12 and 3 says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be devoured, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Questions and answers. The prophet of God said, we realize that Satan in the beginning set up a kingdom in the Northlands to be more beautiful than what Michael was. And there was a day he declared war in heaven, and he pulled two-thirds of the angelic beings with him. Is that right? Now I want to point out something else to you. The Bible said he pulled a third. Brother Branham said he pulled two-thirds. I guess we should throw up our hands and walk away. I told her brother the other day, I said, let me tell you something. If Brother Branham said he was driving down the road in a 1962 Chrysler, and somehow I found out it was a 63, who cares?
Amen. Amen.
The prophet didn't come to correct grammar. The prophet did not come to tell us days and weeks and months. The prophet came to introduce us to Jesus Christ himself. And that has been done. He came to open a book. And I, for one, for a fact, know it's open, Brother Jack. Why? Because I've seen my name there. But Lucifer got jealous and he wanted power. That's why we're watching this falling away around this message. Because people want people to look to them. Look at me. Look at what revelation I have. See, that's when. And you know what? This started a long time ago when people was in the beginnings of this stage. People were going, you know, we got more than the prophet had. Let me tell you something. You ain't got more than he had. Half of us ain't got to half of what he had. My dad asked the church the other day, he said, you want to tell me you got what he had when he said he would get up and walk into the kitchen and he would look around and something would be different and then all of a sudden he would pinch himself because he said, I don't know if I'm in a vision or if I'm actually awake and walking around. That's the kind of guy you're talking about being ahead of, being beyond what his revelation was. He would travel back in time and say, I see you, 40-year-old woman. I see you as a 12-year-old girl. You're running down the road with a yellow polka dot dress on. A dog starts chasing you. You got a nervous devil on you right there. And then he would skip forward in time and say, now I see you at the doctor's office 2 weeks ago. He tells you you got this, but that's not what it is. Then he would jump forward a month and he says, I see you completely healed in the name of Jesus. And then we're going to fuss because he said the wrong month. Let me throw this out here. Another one of the things that people are saying the prophet was wrong on was because he said Jesus was born in the spring, he died in the spring, and he was 33 and a half years old. Can't be, can it? Well, it can be if you look through God's eyes. Because I went and did the math on it. And we have 365 days a year. And over there they got 360 days a year in Israel. And if you take the age of 33 years and you count in the leap year days and you count in the 5 days a year, you come up with 33 years, 5 months, and 15 days. That if he would have been born on the same day and died on the same day on their map or on their calendar, on our calendar, he would have been exactly 33 and a half years old. You can't prove the message wrong. You can't make it be wrong. You can't find enough fault to turn me around. Goodness. But he wanted power. Is that all right? He said, let's look at this just a minute. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them into the earth. Brother Branham says, you know what that was? Now, see, without a prophet, we wouldn't even know. You say, how do you know? Because sometimes I hear these guys on the radio and they're going, well, the dragon is going to come up out of the bottomless pit and he's going to breathe fire and that's what's going to burn the earth. And I'm going, are you kidding me? But by the mouth of a prophet. He said now his tail wasn't like a forked T-A-I-L, tail. Like they say the devil's got. It was that tail. T-L-E. T-A-L-E, that lie that he told. And the very Jews by the Roman Empire crucified the Lord Jesus. And over two-thirds of the Jews denied Jesus Christ. The stars which was in heaven. And he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Watch this. He said the same demons that fell up there. The angels that followed Lucifer came to the earth as religious devils. Those same devils stood ready to devour the child. What was it? He said it was Jesus Christ being birthed. Remember? That was the spirit that got on Herod that said, kill all of the firstborn children. But then they did crucify him. And who crucified him? The religious leaders. Who wanted rid of them? The preachers. Who wanted rid of Jesus? Church folk. You know, I told our church the other day, I said, the problem around churches, we got too many churches on birth control. People are scared to death what might happen if somebody got a birth. Scared to death that there might be some snot in the carpet. We had a guy come to our church here a while back, and he said, let me tell you something. He said, all these people getting a refilling of the Holy Ghost, he said, there ain't no such thing. He said, the prophet only said it three times. I said, that was two times more than he had to. My goodness. How many of y'all have been up in North Carolina? Somebody raise your hand that ain't never been there. You ain't never been there? You ever drunk cheer wine? You ain't never drunk it. Well, there ain't no such thing. That's why you ain't drunk it. Are you satisfied with that? Okay. You know why he's satisfied with that? Because he ain't never drunk it. But I have drunk it. So I just talked him into believing it was there. Then I talked him right back out of believing it was there because he ain't experienced it. Now, brother, do you believe there's such thing as Dr. Pepper? No, there's not. There ain't no such thing as Dr. Pepper. Can I talk you out of that? See, when preachers get up and tell you that the Lord don't allow you to speak in tongues no more, it's because they ain't experienced it yet. When they tell you that God don't give visions no more, it's because they ain't experienced it yet. When they tell you you don't see the Holy Ghost in the church no more, it's because their church ain't got it. But I, for one, have experienced tongues. I've experienced prophecy. I've experienced visions. And you've come too late to tell me it don't work. Amen. Amen. Glory. Amen. Glory. Ah, my, my. God's good. What time is it? I'm watching the clock, but what time did I get out here? I don't know. My, I feel his presence in here. It's good. He said, now the souls that were in prison, that repented not, were not angelic beings that had been brought down in the form of angels, but it was the spirits of those beings that fell before the foundation of the world back there. When the war went on in heaven and Satan and Michael and the dragon fought, and the dragon fought Lucifer. And Lucifer was cast out with all of his children, all of the angels that he had deceived, and those angels come to the earth that was subject then to become human. You following me? And when they did, that's when the sons of God saw the daughters of men was fair and took unto them wives. I told our young people back home, I said, you know why? You walk through the mall and you see a woman walk by and you can't turn your head. That ain't a woman you're looking at. That's a demon that fell from the beginning. Young women, you know why that men are attracting you and why they're talking to you in the midnight hours, why they're Facebook messaging you, why they're pulling at you, and you don't know why you're having those thoughts you're having? It's because that's a demon that fell from the beginning. He said, they are the sons of God. Every man that's born in this earth is a son of God, regardless whether he's a sinner or what he is. He's a son of God, created in the image of God for the praises of God. He said, but God in the beginning knew who would receive him and who would not receive him. How could he know that? Because you made your choice already. Amen. He said, therefore he could predestinate or not predestinate. But by foreknowledge, he could tell who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved, for he knew which person would take up which spirit. Right. Now, when I looked at this, I really liked something that I saw in this. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed by spirits. Is that right? But the scripture said that a third of the stars of heaven were pulled and became demons. Now, I'm not real good at math, but if a third was pulled away, then there's two of us for every one of them. You know, I know I growed up where everybody said, oh, there ain't going to be very many saved. There ain't going to be but one out of every church. But it said there was two of us for every one of them. And the prophet of God said there was 2 million demons released out of the river Euphrates. That tells me somewhere on this earth there is 4 million sons and daughters of God who are more capable of conquering than those demons are. You say, well, how could you know that? We'll get there in a minute. Some of these angelic beings there in the beginning decided, we'll just follow Lucifer. There was a brother in our church the other day, one of our deacons, he asked me, he said, Brother Cliff, I don't understand. He said, how can people walk away from the message? And we were talking about this right here. He said, let me ask you. He said, this don't make no sense to me at all. He said, how could you be in heaven listening to God and then hear the devil preach and be drawn away? But see, the problem was the devil wasn't the devil yet. See, Lucifer had been walking around like he was one of them. The scripture said that, Brother Branham said that whenever you recognize the two spirits in the framework of the Christian church, and then are able to discern and withstand. Well, I don't really want to withstand nothing. You better. There was a preacher in our church. He was fussing at me here a while back, and he told my wife, he said, I don't preach against stuff. I just preach the word. He said, I don't preach against nothing. I said, you're a politician. You show me a man that's afraid to preach something that might ruffle feathers, I'll show you a politician. Everybody's going after Donald Trump, you know, because he's, you know, everybody's saying, man, Donald's the answer now because he ain't a politician. You know what? He found out he wasn't going to make it unless he included homosexuals. So he said, you know what? I'm going to take up for everybody. Christians, homosexuals, I'm going to take up for everybody. Why? He's a politician. And when you find a preacher that won't preach against your sin because you pay tithes, or won't preach against your sin because you invite him over for supper, I'll show you a politician in the pulpit. Lucifer was a good politician. He went around telling everybody, hey, when I take the kingdom over, I'm going to be on your side. It's just me and you. You remember that. And he'd walk over to that man's enemy, and he'd say, hey, it's just me and you. Just me and you. You know what? We're together. We're together on this thing. That's what a politician does. And so Lucifer went around doing this, and then he began to preach. You know, there was a man in our church that he left us here a while back. Praise God. He was a preacher. And he went around buying gifts for a select group of people in the church. He'd buy them Bibles and put their name on it. And he was just catering to these people. And he had our youth service back then, and he started drawing this crowd to him. And you know what? Whenever God told him to get up and leave, God told all those people to get up and leave with him. You know, it's just funny how God spoke to a whole group. You let me find when five people in the church say, well, God's been dealing with me about this. I'll show you who's been talking to each other. God ain't been talking. Gossip been talking. That's what causes church splits. That's what's causing all the problems around the message. Is people are going around and whispering in each other's ear. And then they're going, well, the Lord's been dealing with me. No, he ain't. Your backslid brother's been dealing with you. So when Lucifer began to preach, that crowd that he had been buying Bibles for, and that crowd that he had been calling and telling them how great they looked, and every Sunday he would say, oh, you look so beautiful today, sister. Oh, brother, what a nice suit you got on. And he was just pulling his crowd. And when he began to preach, he began to say, isn't my kingdom more beautiful than that? And he just began to pull them right away. And see, that's the same spirit that happened here just a few years ago when these men began to say, you know, I understand the message was good, but look, it's too legalistic. Wouldn't it be great if you could have the same joy and the same peace and serve the same God, but you could wear some makeup and you could, you know, you could drink a little and you know, if you get a little nervous at work, you could smoke a cigarette. I mean, it'd be okay. But it's the same God. I got a bunch of family that serve that God. I mean, let me tell you something. Some of my family, you know, our family tree looks like a pot plant. You know what I mean? I got some family that could serve God if they could just come to church and serve him, but when things get tough, they could smoke a joint. I know some people that could serve God like that. But I'm telling you, we serve a God that can call you out to a higher place where you don't need that junk no more. I'm talking about a God that can deliver you and bring you a peace beyond understanding. My, my, my. I got to hurry, got to hurry. Now listen to this. He said, when God created me, William Branham, I was before the foundation of the world. He made my being, my spirit. I wasn't conscious of anything as far as I know of, but I was there. I don't believe you're getting it. That's what the prophet said. He said, I don't believe you're getting it. He said, just a minute. Jesus told the disciples he knew them before the foundation of the world. And Paul said here that he chose us in him before the world began. Now there was some part of me and the rest of you all here that's in Jesus Christ before the world ever began. And here's to my analysis of that. Y'all want to know what the prophet's analysis was? He said, I think that people today that are possessed with the Spirit are a part of these angelic beings. Let me get it back. Give me just a second. I messed myself up. He said, I think that the people today that are possessed with this Spirit are a part of these angelic beings, the spirits which rotated off of God, that never fell in the beginning and resisted the devil's lie in heaven. How many got the Spirit? Seven of y'all. He said that those who have the Spirit and are possessed with the Spirit, it ain't just on our flesh, Brother Solomon. We're possessed with it. He said we rotated off of God. So when you come to the earth, you're a part of God. That's why the prophet said, now you can no more die than God himself can die. Without, let me say it this way, if you got the Spirit, for you to miss the rapture would be for God to make it to heaven missing a finger. For you to miss the rapture would to make God incomplete. But he said you rotated off of God. And more than you rotated off of God, because you were a part of God. See, it's all in the family. Because you were a part of God, you resisted the lie of the devil. Not here, but there. I told that brother in our church. He said, why? I don't understand. It don't make sense. I said, it ain't supposed to. I said, you're telling me that it don't make sense to you that in the beginning you would walk away from God to serve Lucifer. He said, that's what I'm telling you. I said, and so probably right now, these people that are walking away from this message and going out and living for the devil, that surprises you too. He said, it sure does. I said, doesn't that show you something? You were standing there in the beginning, and you were watching these people go over to Lucifer's side of the fence, and you were going, what is their problem? What is wrong with them? This is God. This is everything we could have ever dreamed of. And I said, now he brought you to the earth to be tempted and tried, and you're standing there in the same place, watching the same people walk away. You're wondering, how do they walk away? But listen, I'm thankful, Brother Solomon, that I made a choice in the beginning. I'll stand with the word, no matter if they put us in prisons, no matter if they shut our churches down. I'll stand with the word. Somebody had to take up a sword. Somebody in the beginning discerned the two spirits in the framework of the church, and somebody withstood those spirits. I'm trying to get out of here. I really am. So what the prophet's telling us, what's happening right now has already happened before. Everything you're seeing go on has already gone on before. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Everybody's worried right now. Who's the next president? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen tomorrow? What? Quit worrying. What about my kids? Quit worrying. What about the bills? Quit worrying. What about my house? Quit worrying. What about my job? He said, I've spoken to you that you could have peace. And you say, oh, that's good. I got peace. I ain't going to have no troubles. Let me read the next part. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Ye shall have. Get ready for tribulation. Get ready for persecution. Get ready for it. Get ready. You shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Say, how? I don't get it. He's telling me I can have peace. But he's telling me I'm going to be in tribulation in the world. And the last part of that verse says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And if you're a part of him, then when he says I, somebody work with me. When he says I, if you're in him, he said you're in me, I'm in you, I'm in the Father, you're in me. It's all one being. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And I, the I am was there. And I am was there. Cliff was there. Solomon was there. Jack was there. I don't know the rest of your names, but Caleb was there. Why? Because we are in him, and he said, I've overcome the world. Therefore, you have already overcome the world. You say, but what about what's going on in the news? You've already overcome it. What about what's going around in the message? You've already overcome it. What about my family problems? You've already overcome it. What about the sickness in my body? You've already overcome it. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said in one place, he said, God slipped an unmerited wedding band of grace on you before the foundation of the world. You say, now how could that happen? Because when you decided, I'm staying with you, God said, well, since you made your choice, I'm going to make my choice. And he slipped a wedding band on that told the devil, this is mine. And so the devil said, sure, they're yours here. But put them down there and let me work on them. And God said, well, I will send my trusted few to the earth. I'm going to put them in little churches all over the world. He said, I'm going to have them in Mexico. I'm going to have them in the United States. I'm going to have them in England. I'm going to have them in Africa. He said, and they're going to fellowship. They're going to love one another. And he said, devil, I tell you what, you do whatever you want to them. Just don't take their life. Amen. And when it's all said and done, you're going to watch them make the same choice there that they made today. So the devil has spent 6,000 more years trying to pull those people away that already made their choice. He's working right now on me and you, trying to tell us you might as well quit fighting. It's a lost battle. Yes, it is a lost battle, but he's the loser. This battle has already been fought. It's already been conquered. We are now just walking and fighting a defeated enemy. I'm trying to close. Brother Branham said, last Sunday a week, I preached on the assurance, the power that God promised and ordained you and called you before the foundation of the world and put your name in his book. You had nothing to do with it. God did it. Isn't that wonderful? The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Why? It never happened until 4,000 years later. But when God spoke it, he had to do it because he has to keep his word. And the same time the Lamb wrote down your name, you wrote with him. It was better than that. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Brother Branham said, did you notice the arrangements of that? Not on my throne, in my throne. He said, in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. When you overcame in the beginning, he said, when he wrote your name in the book, you were writing with him. I don't know about that much power. Watch Esther. When Esther was granted the kingdom, the king did not wait. Esther goes into the kingdom and he says at first, I want you to be my queen. But then later he says, I want more than a queen. I want a wife. And once Esther was granted that portion of the kingdom, you look further in Esther's life. At the end of the book of Esther, it doesn't say the king was writing. At the end of the book of Esther, it says Esther wrote with all authority. Because the wife of the king was granted the pen and the paper. She was granted a checkbook that whatever she wanted in the kingdom was now hers. And you overcame. And he handed you a pen and he said, put your name in a book. We said, why are we putting our name in a book? He said, because in 6,000 years, I myself am going to come down with that book. And I'm going to rip the seals off of it. And there's going to be one man on earth named William Branham that's going to know how to take that book out of my hand. But once he takes that book, good God, I'm closing. He said, once he takes the open book, it's going to be there in the hand of a prophet. And he said, you're going to go. You're going to be like John. And you're going to take the book. Why would I take the book? He said, because you're going to read it. Why am I going to read it? Because then you're going to see your name. What is it going to do for me? It's going to call your mind back to remembrance that you have already overcome the world. Stand to your feet with me. Isaiah 14 and 12. As they come to the music. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Now look at this. He's just tantalizing this guy. How is it? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Can you imagine getting there, Brother Jack? And you look at that devil. Brother Solomon, I'm going to go, are you really the guy? You're the one that tried taking my family? You're the one that caused me to worry? You sent me in so much worry it caused an ulcer? You're the one that brought nervousness to my home? You're the one that brought sickness on my children? You? I don't know how good I am in with God, but there's only one thing I really want. Any of y'all can have my mansion. I want to be the one that kicks him into the bottomless pit. But Solomon said, we're going to fight for that position. He said that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof that opened not the house of the prisoners. But watch how he started. How art thou fallen? Y'all want to know how he fell? Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Oh, this next verse brings power. And prevailed not. Somebody say that with me. Prevailed not. About your children. Prevailed not. About your bills. Prevailed not. About what's going on at your job. Prevailed not. About your car. Prevailed not. About your church. Prevailed not. About cancer. About high blood pressure. About whatever's going on in your body. Whatever's going on in your spirit. Depression. Nervousness. All of the demons that have come against you. He said we fought and they prevailed not. But it gets better than that. It says neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Paul said we are now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because there is no place found for the devil. No place for the enemy left, Brother Jack. No place for doubt. But my family's leaving. They're going to believe the sign. Prevailed not. But I'm worrying. What's going to go on? What is my family going to be saved? Prevailed not. You're fighting against a whipped pup. He said, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. But something else happened. He said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I got to close. You are fighting a whipped enemy. As I said, there was two of us. Let them play something and I'm getting out. There was two of us for every one of them. I believe that before this world was formed, brother, me and you stood arm in arm and whipped some devils. You know how I know that? First time I ever met Brother Solomon, within about 5 minutes, I thought, man, I feel like I've known this guy my whole life. Brother Jack, first time I ever met you, I thought, man, we just connected. You know why? Because at some point, we had stood arm in arm. We said, Red Rover, send another devil right over. We had already whipped the devil. That's why now you see ministers in a prayer line. 75, 80 preachers in a prayer line praying. And you go, they look like they've prayed together. We did. Before the world began, before the foundation of the world, we stood in prayer lines saying, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. God bless you this morning. I'm out of here, brother.
I appreciate that today. That was just wonderful. And the origin, let's just get this right, the origin of a believer, and direct confirmation to a conversation I was having on yesterday. And I was just talking with somebody, and in the conversation I was telling them, saying, now you are not an afterthought. And it just hit me, right? And I never heard these words before. I never used them before. I said, you're not an afterthought, but you are a beforethought. Not an afterthought. See, because sometimes the devil like to get us to think that, you know, our birth was a mistake and all these other things like that. No, you're not an afterthought. It was not a mistake when you came to earth. God knew exactly how you was going to get here. He knew you before the foundation of the world. Man, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. I appreciate that, Brother Cliff. God bless you, brother. God richly bless you. Hallelujah. You know, when he was just kind of talking about how this just a play, we're just kind of going through the motion. And if you've ever participated in a play before, that wasn't the first time they got together. There was some practice, and they worked out all the kinks and everything. And no matter what was going on in the play, the people that was in the play knew what the outcome was going to be. Come on, somebody. You got to have a revelation that you already know what the outcome is going to be. No matter what's going on right now, you know you're victorious. Hey, you already won. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, you already won. See, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we can work till he comes. And there's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. Hey, as long as there's love, you see, we will stand. Come on, say, you're my brother, you're my sister, so. Yeah, together we will work all until he comes, and there's no foe. Again. Oh, as long as there, hallelujah, hey, we will stand. I believe it. Yeah, you're my brother. Take me by the hand. Oh, yeah, together we will work. Oh, there's no foe. Oh, when we're walking, hallelujah, yeah, as long as there is love. Oh, come on, everybody, put your hands on it. Yeah, you're my brother. Yeah, hallelujah, take me by the hand. Glory. Oh, together we will work until he comes. Thank you, Jesus. There's no foe. Hey, when we're walking side by side, oh, as long as there is love, yeah, we will stand. Come on, one more time. Say, you're my brother.
take me by the hand. Oh, together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking. Oh, as long as there's love, you see, we will stand. We will stand, say, we will stand. We will stand, we will stand. I know we will. Hey, we won't be defeated. We will stand. We will stand. Stand. One more time, we will stand. We will stand. Thank you, Jesus. My God, I'm so glad that I'm on the winning side, church. Amen. This thing is already won. It's already done. No sense in us worrying about it, thinking about it. Just go through the motions because it's already won. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My. That's all right. That's all right. God bless you. God bless you. We'll prepare to... Amen. To dismiss. Amen. At this time, don't forget tonight, 6:30, Brother West Coast Church here in West Palm Beach. Amen. There'll be a service. Brother Cliff will be preaching there. And he has a couple churches that he'll be stopping by while he's here in Florida. He's going there tonight. Going to Brother Brown's, I think, Wednesday night, right? Brother Smiley on Thursday night before they start heading back home. So we're looking forward to all that God has, amen, in store and using our brother here. Amen, while he's in the area. Amen. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, how blessed we are, Lord, to be reminded of where we've come from and where we're going back to. Satan, with everything that he's done, has tried to trip us up and, Lord, just disrupt our journey while we're here on earth. But God, you send your servant through just to remind us that this battle is already won. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. All we got to do is just go through the motions. But God, this thing has already worked out. And how beautiful, Lord, to hear the story of the judge that couldn't show up to court. So here this man is guilty as guilty can be, but his lawyer became his judge on that day, Lord, and he got out of whatever it was that he was in to recognize that Christ, amen, our lawyer as well as our judge, that no matter what Satan has pointed, amen, his finger against us on, we won't be convicted of it because the blood of Jesus Christ has set us free. God, we thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you just continue to use your servant for your glory as he goes, amen, to the various churches, Lord, here in Florida. May you use them and may you bless each and every church and every service, God, that he'll be here, amen, a part of. We thank you for his wife, his daughters. Ask that you would bless them as well. And may they enjoy themselves as they're here in Florida, Lord, for this week. And God, all the other events that are planned for the week, we go to Pinnacle Palms tonight, service tonight. Lord, service on Wednesday night, service at Brother Smiley's Thursday night, service here on Friday night, and God also service on Saturday night at Brother Smiley's. Lord, everything that's planned for this week, may we find opportunity to get involved in some of these services, God, is our prayer. And we trust, oh God, that you would keep us until we're able to meet again. Thank you for each and every visitor that came through the doors this morning, God, to be a part of this service. God, we ask that you would bless them as they return to their respective homes. God, is our prayer. It's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. The brothers would come, amen, at this time to dismiss you. Brother Tracy, we say God bless you. Good to have you with us. Amen again. And Brother Obed and Brother Israel, God bless you. Good to have you with us. Amen on today. Praise the Lord.